completely get it. This one time in Brazil, Phil Collins and I, right? We were at this restaurant. I'm like, so what are you going to have? What are you going to do? I mean, she stole your stuff. And he's like, sue. I'm going to sue her. And I'm like, sue studio? And the next thing you know, history is made. All right, we'll get back to more of this interview when we return, only on...
Baldur 97.5.
Butler, could you turn the radio down? I'm making a more... Oh, okay, good. Good morning, Dashers. We hope that you enjoyed your extra days off and would like to thank you all for your momentous effort in cleaning the campus after our Labor Day concert series mishap. In the future, we will make a concerted effort to verify that the act we book is really a band and not, as was the case this weekend, an actual flock of seagulls. In other news, the Bare Naked Ladies concert that we had planned for next weekend has been canceled for unrelated reasons.
Oh hell, we're on a roll. I like this. This is fun. Let's do one more. One more.
For recipes.
Holy moly!
Baldur Nash.
Good afternoon, Dashers. Could the Music Appreciation Committee please report to Music Room Q? Could the Music Appreciation Committee please report to Music Room Q?
Quick, before we start, I need you guys to brainstorm. Our kids are running a poll on best concert you've ever been to. I have no idea where to start. So what do you have?
Really are so many options here because I went to a lot of concerts in the 90s, but the music since then hasn't been that great. So I'd be hard pressed to pick my favorite though, but I don't know. Genesis was great.
Sharon, Lois, and Bram. They're my go-to concerts. I've been going to them for years. Man, just bring a little bit of... the weed, and it's a lot of fun.
Turkish Wardle Whistlers. I tend to go for a more classical sound. I am, you know, the music professor and all, so I hold myself to a higher standard. what they can do with those gourds is really amazing.
UB80, which is the UB40 cover band, is probably my favorite now. What they do is they play just UB40 covers, but in double time. So it's kind of like heavy metal, but it's kind of not like heavy. It's just a real good, fast beat.
Very solid choice. I liked their hit, White, White Wine.
What I think we should do is bring all these bands together, get the UV80, Turkish Delight, Professor Randy, I forgot what you said, but I liked yours a lot. And Sharon, Lois, and Bram, bring them all together. Have like a Baldur Lapuza type of thing.
XS, which is the In Excess cover band, would be, they play the inversion of all the In Excess. It's like, I don't need you tonight, etc. But I have a contact with them. I'd be happy to see if they can come along.
Mm. Yeah. Noel Graphite is my new favorite guy. He's a Neil Diamond cover band. Now, what's funny, Neil Diamond wrote Red, Red Wine. So it's weird because it's like, okay, here's somebody I thought was doing a cover of a cover, but the cover wasn't of a cover and it's not in double time. It's really weird.
Zero. Zero is the number of concerts that I've gone to that I haven't appreciated some aspect of it. I love music, and you know, it just always speaks to me. So I appreciate everything, even the stuff that you know, I get dragged to that I didn't think I was gonna like.
All things considered, is pretty good too. If we're talking about spoken word albums, that's a PBS show, isn't it? I don't know.
Brap 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 Billy B. I think that's the that scat singing show on NPR. I really appreciate that.
Could we move it back to concerts?
Dr. Demento was a great curator of music back in the day. You wanted to get back to concerts. Weird Al. Speaking of Dr. Demento, I would have to go to with Weird Al. Man, he was just, and still today, you know, 30 years later, he is still revered, especially for his accordion work.
Evan. That's Weird Al's birth name. I still call him Evan. We're friends. We go way back. He's actually available. He's crashing at my place right now because he's having some asbestos free blinds put in his house. So he's available for the next 6 months because it's going to take a while.
Fantastic. Why don't we have Weird Evan booked for a weekly concert? He could bring his squeeze box. He can hang out. The kids will love him.
Great idea. I'll love him. Weird Al's band is one of the most accomplished in musical history. You talk about any other band that can hit any genre, any song, perfect, just like the original recording artists.
How often do we get an artist of his caliber in town? I had no idea you knew him, Nate. Man, I just, I want to, we need to make this happen.
I've known him for a long time. In fact, our mom shared a room when we were born, in the hospital. So yeah, we go way back and, Weird Al, he's a really good guy. Really good. He's a Sagittarius. Did you know that?
Just when you think you know someone. I am so impressed and amazed with your musical background and your connection to Weird Evan. And I'm thankful to know that he's a Sagittarius, because as am I. I'll have something to talk to him about when I see him.
Killer idea. We have the at school concert right at the end of November, and we call it the Sagittarian Squeeze Box Festival. Mm-hmm.
Let's just make polka the next big thing here in Balderdash County. And in order to get that ball rolling, I can't think of anyone better than Weird Evan. I can't even call him Weird Al anymore. It's just Weird Evans in my head now.
Mm-hmm. No, thank you, Em. Okay. maybe we always come back to funding these things. And I think that Evan Al will be good about doing this pro bono for us, if that's the musical term for it. But we could bring in some extra money by getting this kind of subsidized by like Capri Suns, because, of course, you got a polka, the straw in, and it's a squeeze box. So it's more of a squeeze pouch. But I think we can, you know, let that go.
Nate, you are just a veritable cornucopia, a plethora of amazing ideas. You go from Weird Evan to pro bono, who I cannot tell you how much I love you two. And then
I love you too. Oh,
come on. Oh, you know we're talking about that polka band from the 70s. Anywho, you look, Capri Sun, pouches of a cloudy, questionable juice type drink that you polka your straw in. I'm on board. Sign me up.
Oh, I have an idea. We combine the juice box with the Capri Sun musically by making an accordion inspired bagpipe.
Picture this. We have the biggest bagpipe Capri Sun polka party, and we get the Guinness Book of World Records to be there, and Balderdash County will be a destination spot for the rest of the world.
Quick, write that down. This is perfect. Absolutely perfect. I'm going to go start designing the accordion squeeze box bagpipe thing. I'm really looking forward to this.
Be more fun than you could poke a stick at.
Evan! Hey, buddy. Yeah. Hey, you know, I have a really great thing. Yeah, I just want to tell you about it. You know what you're going to do in October?
Doctor, I need to talk to you. You've been my psychiatrist for years here, my therapist rather, for years. And I have a confession that I have to make, and I don't know how to get out of it. I need your help.
Oh yeah, I can help you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I had this childhood friend. I've known him forever, and he's a nice guy, and I wanted to impress him when I first met him, so I lied to him, and the problem is he believed it, and now I don't know what to do. Like, I've been lying to him for 30 plus years. I need a way out of this. Help me. What should I do?
Oh, yeah. The first thing is, what's his social security number?
What's his?
Yeah.
Social security. I'm sure I could get it.
Okay.
Could you? It's really important that I get his social security.
Well, yeah. I mean, if we're going to kill him, we need to be able to falsify the body.
No, okay, doctor, I just had a little harmless white lie that he believed, and I told him I was somebody famous. Really?
For 30 years, he think you somebody famous. This little white lie is now fuchsia. In color.
Why? And I understand that. I get that. That there might be an issue. I'm just, I was thinking, like maybe you could give me advice on how to approach the truth he just called me about. This is important to me. We're lifelong friends. I don't want to see him dead. I would just like to reveal the truth to death.
Okay. I see. You've been coming to me to talk for a long time, and I see this isn't really where you want to go with it. We do medical induced coma, so that way you can tell him while he's asleep, because he can still hear you. And then he cannot react. And if he when he wake up, if he starts saying something, then we kill him. I got meds.
I would hope so. If you're going to put him in a medically induced coma, I'm a little concerned. I'm not going to lie to you. I am concerned that you're bringing up you're bringing up so drastic a measure. When I'm just looking for advice on how to tell him I'm not actually this famous person.
Okay. Let me start with, what famous person did you say you were?
Well, Weird Al Yankovic.
Okay, so we kill Weird Al Yankovic. We make you him.
Wait.
That way your friend can stay alive and you, your lie becomes real.
Yes, I understand why you are thinking maybe you're always looking out for my best interest, Doctor. I appreciate that. My concern is this fixation of death. So what I would like to know is how I could confess and broach the subject without killing anyone.
Evan. Okay. What we do is we use your idea and we take a brooch and then we blind him and stab him in the ear so that way he cannot see or talk.
All right.
And then you become Weird Al Yankovic and do the polka.
Dr. Putin.
Alexander Hamilton. What?
Dr. Putin, I'm pleased that you are so much in my corner. And I understand that you weren't necessarily trained here in the United States. What my concern is, I would like to know how I might be able to tell him the truth without doing a couple of things. Like, let's just say, hypothetically, how could I tell the truth without stabbing him with a pin, blinding him with jewelry, putting him to sleep? Let's just say, how do you do it without killing somebody? I'm looking for alternatives here.
Okay, Evan. Okay. You take him to a Chinese restaurant. And
yeah, that I can do. Yes. This is getting somewhere. Yeah.
And then you put into fortune cookie a note that says your lucky numbers are 14, 14, 14. I am not Weird Al Yankovic. Love, Evan. And so then he eats the fortune cookie, which has poison, and he dies.
This is where I.
What, you want to do tacos?
No, the food is fine. Becky, in the 10 years that I've known you, I have to say, as your employer, I'm shocked. I am shocked that you took this course of action during a work day.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it that you remembered my name for once. And also that you noticed. Look, I felt like, yeah, it was time for me to, like, you know, step up to the plate, do what I have to do.
Oh, you very literally. I've never actually seen anybody fight fire with fire before. It permanently, indelibly burned your name into our memory and the conference table.
Okay. That's great. I'm glad. Like, now, like, generations of workers to come will look down at the table and say that Becky, she sure was a go-getter. She had that little hairspray travel size in her pocketbook and she put it to use.
Well, about that, I want to let you know that we've talked and we think that we will be able to save that conference room table.
All right.
A quick sanding, maybe a piece of glass on top of it.
And yeah, protect it.
It'd be good as new.
Museum quality.
I've never quite seen anybody take idioms so literally before, though.
Mm.
It was slightly concerning.
Okay.
Now, the thing is reprimanding is not my cup of tea.
Okay. Is that another idiom or is that a metaphor or a synonym? Do you want sugar in your synonym?
No,
Becky,
I don't.
Sorry. confused right now.
I don't think that you're understanding what I'm saying to you here. What
Sorry,
I'm trying
I'm
to
so
tell
literal.
You is
literal Becky.
We had people in the committee who was talking about letting you go for that response, but I don't think that's the right answer.
Oh.
I think you have exactly what it takes to be a manager here.
Wow.
At Keros Guillotine and Baines. You have exactly what we need at our law firm to move us forward into the 21st century. You have that blinding commitment to a turn of phrase without thinking about the consequences. And that's the type of employee we need in law.
Sir, thank you. I'm so glad you can go to bat for me. And speaking of which, here is a bat for when you go to bat for me, Mr.
Thank
Guillotine.
Thank you. Thank you. I got to be honest, this is going to take a little bit of getting used to.
All right.
But Becky, yeah. It's good to have you on board full time. Ben, I never realized it would be this hot.
It is so hot in here.
It is so hot.
Like, I mean, it was like 100 degrees out today, and this is by far way hotter.
Yeah, it was such a good idea to beat the heat for going to the sauna. I mean, this
right?
is... Yeah.
We had to get out of nature and get to where... You know, the real heat is.
Yeah. Yeah. The real pain is. Now, this is great. It, you know, it's like hitting yourself in the head with a hammer because it feels good when you stop. You know, walking out of here into the brutal, crippling heat, it's just going to make you feel cool. It's about perspectives, you know?
I mean, I've always felt cool.
Well, you are cool. I'm talking more physical cool, not metaphysically cool.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Not like sunglasses, cool. More like, help, the streets are melting, cool.
I see.
Yeah.
All right.
Icy would be great. Right now.
I see.
I would love some ice right now.
Man, I gotta pour some water over the coals here.
Wow, that's... Slushies! Get your slushies!
Oh. Slushies.
Man, this sauna has everything.
I was not expecting slushies.
Slushies! Popcorn!
I'll have a slushie.
One slushie? Grape or cherry?
Oh, cherry.
Cherry. There you go, sir.
That's
$15.
Wow.
Of course. I unfortunately,
we
I'm not wearing pants.
We don't have our wallets with us. We just got these towels.
All right, I'll put it on your tab.
I guess I'll take a cup of the grape water.
It's a slushy. Here you go. Here's your slushy. $15 on your tab?
Yep.
On your tab. There we go.
Grape water.
Based on perspective, this is a lot cooler than the surrounding room. I mean, this has to be like 60 degrees. You know? Fahrenheit?
Yeah. I think that's...
This is almost cool and refreshing.
Hello, boys. Yes. Hi, it's me. Heidi.
Oh.
Hi. Hi, Heidi.
This is really awkward, man.
The sticks?
Yes, to spank you on the tushy so you feel reinvigorated.
Jack,
let me see your
tushy.
Where
have you brought me?
Look, Happy Ending Spa is known all over Balderdash County as being the best with customer service.
Yeah, 5 stars on Google Plus.
Their Yelp reviews are out of control, man.
The Yelp loves me.
I didn't realize Google Plus was still a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Balderdash, everything's, you know, the way it used to be at times. Yeah, I'm in.
I'm going to defer to you to go first on this one.
No, Heidi, this is traditional, right?
Up in the, this is a cultural.
They like beat each
event.
Other with sticks in the spa, right?
It promotes circulation to all your extremities and your buttocks.
Yeah, it's funny. I always thought it was like tree branches with the leaves still on them, not an actual wooden dowel. But I mean, I'm not an expert. I don't know, right? This is my first time doing this. So yeah. Here, let me turn around so you can beat me about the tush.
I can't watch this.
No, Heidi, I can see why you do that. It stopped hurting right when you stopped doing it.
Great. All right, I'll be on my way now. Don't forget to try our concession snacks. Have a nice day.
I gotta tell you, I'm not sure how this day could get any better or worse. It's a weird dichotomy there, you know? But I definitely feel like I appreciated not being in severe pain, but like I was before.
Kind of like I am right now.
Yeah, like I can appreciate you more now that I paid to get beaten.
And I can appreciate the fact that I was way smarter than you and I did not take that beating.
Yeah, I do feel refreshed in a way.
Okay, you guys, hey, the time is up. I hope you enjoyed your sauna. Please feel free to take fortune cookie on your way out.
Yes, I love fortune cookies.
Compliments of Evan. Okay, all right, we're gonna really do this. We're gonna adopt an animal and bring it into our house. Right, Florence?
Yeah. Yes, we are totally gonna do this.
All right. We can
sound
do this.
Hesitant.
Well, I mean, you're deathly allergic to all animals.
Yeah, I know. We talked about this, though.
I know. We had... God. I know we're not supposed to call it a fight. We had a discussion.
Right.
We had a discussion.
An animated discussion.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And we settled on doing this in order to make sure that we can sustain the family.
Right. It's like a litmus test for an actual human baby.
Maybe... whatever animal we get, we should call it Lipness or like Lipnicky or Limp Biscuit or something. I don't know.
I like that.
Yeah. Let's. All right. Okay. Hi, excuse me. Hi.
Hello.
we're here to get an animal. We want to bring an animal into our home.
Little baby.
Great. Great. That's what we do here. We give you animals for you to try out, take on a test drive, if you will. Now, we do have a couple of screeners we put you through in order to figure out whether or not you're appropriate as an animal parent, you know, mom and dad prefer baby. So let's start tell me a little about you. What are you looking for in a family adoption?
Well, we've been together for about 5 years now, and we're considering expanding our family, and we figure that a cute furry little member added to the family would just be a perfect way to get started in that direction.
No, that's perfect. That's perfect. Awesome. The next question I have, and this again, it's just, you know, it's part of the process to make sure that you're a right match for our animals. What is lacking in your relationship that you think that this animal being brought into your life will somehow cure?
Well, she doesn't really listen to me, and I think it would just be really nice if, you know, if we could bring another
living being into the house, you know, then I can find out if it's me or if it's just like everything that she doesn't listen to.
Right. If it's him, if it's him just not putting the seat down, if it's him just throwing his wet towels on the floor, if it's him calling me Flo, which I totally hate because it makes me think of like that progressive lady. And I feel like that's kind of weird that he keeps calling me Flo.
But she's funny.
Okay, then marry her. Okay, I'm not Flo and I'll never be. Okay?
I'm sorry, Florence. I'm sorry.
Okay, Florence, we're getting somewhere.
Yes.
Right? We're getting somewhere. Now, Florence, I need you to tell me, what do you hate the most about Matthew that you feel that this adoptive creature can fulfill in your empty husk of a life?
Okay. I appreciate that you really have to grill prospective families to really kind of make sure that they're going to be responsible and great for this beloved little creature. I feel
she's
like
she's avoiding the question.
I am not whatabouting anything. I am trying to just say that I feel like these questions are just a little bit, you know, maybe beyond the what I expected is all. And please don't think of me in a negative light, sir, at all, because we really, really want this animal. And I will answer your question. It's just hard for me to say what I hate about him, because there's really so many things. We'd have to be here for a very long time for me to list them all out.
We're just having a discussion, Florence, you know,
an animated discussion.
Animated.
All right.
So we're thinking a cat, probably.
No, I understand. Cats are independent. Cats kind of rule the roost. you know. So we do have a couple of specific questions about cats to see if you are the right fit. So, Matthew, let's start with you.
All right.
The first question, and this is really, I think, the most important question with cats, being that allergies are such a thing.
Mm.
Have you or are you now ever been scratched, bitten, clawed, or maimed in some way by Florence?
Now, I don't want to give the wrong impression. Right. I would say it has not been done unintentionally.
Like, for good reasons.
Well, I wouldn't say.
So you're saying it's more like tickling until blood is drawn, or?
At times, sure. Sometimes, though, a knife doesn't tickle that much.
But it does get the point across.
It does get the point across. Yeah. It does. You know, but we do get cardio in. I mean, she inspired me to start running.
Yep.
And now I'm my mile, man, that I'm at my best time ever. So I got to give like 45 Flo minutes? Credit for, yeah.
I'm so proud of you, honey, Matthew.
Thanks, Flo.
All right. No, I understand. Yes. That's great. Florence,
yes.
My question for you about cats, and again, we're figuring out whether or not this animal is a good fit for your family unit, mm-hmm. or if you're a good fit for the animal. All right. Mm-hmm. So cats, there are allergy issues with cats. There's also some hygienic issues with the cats, dealing typically with the litter box and having to clean out the litter box. So my question for you is, Florence, how do you feel on a day-to-day basis putting up with Matthew's shit?
Good afternoon, Dashers. This is your headmaster reminding you that we are now booking live Balderdash Academy. If you want improv comedy, custom game show experiences, team building, and more, you can find us online at balderdashacademy.com. And don't forget to pick up Balderdash Academy merchandise in our school store while you're there.
Hey, this is Bob. When I'm not being the headmaster at Balderdash Academy, I run Sleuth's Mystery Entertainment. At Sleuth's Mystery, we offer something different from your typical mystery experience. Our mysteries are crafted around the game and the experience as a whole. We blend characters, comedy, atmosphere, and a puzzle of a mystery for you to solve. Every show is unique, and every ending is different. At Sleuth's Mystery Entertainment, you can see the show, play the game, and solve the mystery. If you're in New England, contact us at sleuthsmystery.com for a killer time. When I was about 7 years old, I had this idea where I wanted to make my mom a cake for her birthday. I didn't know how to bake. I don't know how to cook. But I knew the general concept behind cake. You take a box of stuff, you dump it in a bowl, you add egg, oil, and a liquid of some type, and then you throw it in the oven until it's done. So that's what I tried to do. So I figured where cake mix is good, Lucky Charms are better. So I took a box of Lucky Charms and I poured it into a mixing bowl, and then I added an egg and I added oil and I added milk, and then I blended it until it was kind of a smooth, chunky pulp. And then I put it in the oven. I didn't know what temperature to cook it at. So I did what every kid that age does when they cook. And I went to a number that I knew, right? So I knew that 50 is a good number. So I put the temperature at 500 degrees. And then I went to play video games until the cake was done cooking. So the smoke alarm went off and I started to panic. So I ran into the kitchen and I pulled the cake out of the oven with an oven mitt. Because, I mean, I might have been a kid, but I wasn't stupid. And I noticed that I had burned the cake. Like, I badly burned the cake. Lucky Charms is basically nothing but raw sugar disguised as food. And I ended up mixing it with eggs and oil. I basically made a burned cereal omelet. But it was still for my mom's birthday. So I let it cool down and I managed to chip it out of the pan and I assembled it with frosting, except I didn't know how to make frosting. And my mom at that point wasn't making her own frosting. She was buying frosting. So I looked for a tub of stuff and I couldn't find a tub of anything. And then I found a tub of white frosting. And I didn't bother tasting it because, you know, there wasn't a lot in the tub. So I took the bottle of Crisco and I popped the top and then I covered the burned cake made out of cereal and egg with Crisco. And I was super proud of myself because, you know, it was my mom's birthday. I made her a cake from scratch. So I ended up taking the cake and my mom came home and the kitchen was a mess. And I know that she was upset, but I also knew she didn't want to yell at me. So she's like, "What did you do, Timmy?" And I'm like, "I made you a cake, mommy." And she was all, "Oh," looking around to see if I burned the house down. Obviously, I didn't. So we take a candle and we put it in the cake and we light the candle. And then we go in to get some milk for the cake, and then we get distracted, and then we start cleaning up, and then the smoke alarm goes off, and that's the day that I found out that Crisco burns like a candle. So, Brian, I want to talk to you about your recent dietary report that you turned in. I have a couple of concerns. I know you're trying to eat healthy. I know you're trying to lose weight. You had that heart issue a couple months ago. You were getting back on track, but I noticed that right now you're eating nothing but Lucky Charms, and I wanted to inquire what made you decide to switch out the salads for sugary breakfast cereal?
Because they're magically delicious. Have you had a salad lately? There is nothing magical or delicious about them.
Well, yeah, I know, I understand that, but there's also nothing that can hurt your blood sugar in this. All I'm saying is that I'm concerned that maybe you've given up on your road to health. Lucky Charms might be magically delicious, but they're not really a way to get back to that health.
I mean, let me grab this box here. Okay, look, it says here it's made out of oats.
Yeah.
Oats are good.
Oats are great.
It has the phrase fortified with nutrients and vitamins.
Yeah.
Those are good.
Yeah. No, they put extra ones in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the marshmallows are delightful. I mean.
Oh, wow.
It's.
I never really thought of it. Like, fortified, you say?
It says fortified. It's in a big, bold font.
Fortified oats. I mean, well, you say fortified oats. You write down fortified oats. I'm not gonna bring that up. That's not weird. I mean, fortified oats are healthy.
This is what I'm saying. I mean, kale. Who likes it? Nobody likes kale. It's gross. Spinach. The iron taste. Nasty. I mean, and unless you like load it down with some honey mustard dressing or something like that, salad sucks.
Salad
sucks.
Oh, man, you're right. Salad sucks. I've been a nutritionist for 15 years. I've been telling people to eat salad every day.
Yeah.
Salad sucks.
Salad sucks.
Salad is horrible.
It's disgusting.
Salad is so disgusting, my food doesn't even eat salad.
This is what I'm saying. Look, you have been very helpful being a nutritionist. And, you know, my weight is getting under control. You know, that's still good. I mean, my cholesterol has come down like 20 points. It's in the mid 300s now instead of the upper 300s. It's good. I mean, my blood sugar is going up a little bit, but I mean, you got to balance, you know, one with the other. You can't get it all, right?
The yin with the yang. Yeah. No, that fortified oats.
Yeah.
I need to take a long, hard look at my career. I honestly, I just assumed it was just sugar, you know, just straight sugar.
Well, I've got something that's going to blow your mind.
Well, you've already done that tonight. So what else is there?
You ever tried Fruity Pebbles?
Do you like 80s television? Of course you do. Do you like helicopters? Of course you do. Do you like men serenading eagles by the waterfront while playing cello? Yes. Yes, you do. If you'd like to hear more about helicopters and cellos, please be sure and tune in to Ciampa and Klein the Airwolf Years every week on your favorite podcast service. Join hosts Greg and Dave as they discuss every single episode of the classic 1980s television series Airwolf. Be sure and subscribe today.
All right, troops, listen up.
Yes, Sarge.
Yes.
We
yes, sir.
Have a fully fortified oat farm here. We have a battalion of cannons on the left. We have a flank of horses and cavalry on the right.
I'm sorry, is that cavalry or calvary?
It's cavalry.
They're from Calgary, but there's the cavalry.
I just want to make sure I was clear on that.
And we have the bayonets taking up the rear flank. Like and that. There's nothing that's going to get into this field of oats. Do you hear me?
Sir, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay, good, because I'm yelling, and it hurts my voice, so I'm just going to take it down a bit. I'm glad you can hear me. All right. Now, we've been entrenched in this field for 3 months, which begs the question, why did I have to tell you everything that you already knew? Because they've been here for 4 months. The answer is I wanted to. I did not need to.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you?
You're welcome. You sounded confused. Are you really thanking me?
Yes.
Again with the confusion. Private, do I look like a unicorn to you?
Should I answer that?
Yes.
Really?
Okay. So, the next thing we're going to do is we're going to a USO tour. Coming to right. us, we have Evan Weird Al Yankovic.
Hi. Ooh. Hi, how are you?
Evan, I'm a big fan.
Weird Al Yankovic.
You're so weird.
I'm in a horrible mess. How can I get out of this? No, that's... Look, I appreciate everything you're doing for this field of oats. You know, waking up day in and day out, trying to protect these oats from the enemy. That's something that I, the real Evan Weird Al Yankovic, can really appreciate. So this rendition of Eat It is for you.
Yes.
God damn it, I should have got Hollow Notes.
So, God, Hiram, there I was, sitting there in my living room, wondering what was wrong with my wife, Martha, because she was up something wicked with her anger.
Oh, she's not doing that again, is she?
Well, she is, Hiram. Now, you know it was our anniversary, this come weekend that just happened, right?
I did! That's why I sent you a card tomorrow.
Well, I appreciate getting that yesterday. Now, what I want to tell you is that I was up there, and my wife says to me, she says, Homer. Now, he says, what is it, Martha? And she says, Homer, I want to see Hall & Oates for my anniversary present. So I done what come natural. I go over to Bucky's farm, and I say, Buck! You still got them oats in the field, the one that's all fortified? And they said, yeah. We still got them up in the field. I said, when are you going to go, when are you going to do your planting and your harvesting? They said, well, the planting's already in the ground. But the harvesting's coming up.
Oh, Bucky's good with that.
And little do you know, it was coming up day before our anniversary. So I convinced him to hold off one day. So I get Martha in the car, and I say, Martha, I'm taking you to our anniversary present. She's like, what is it, Homer? And I said, I'm taking you to see Hall & Oates.
Oh, my gosh.
She got all excited about it. I told her to cover up her eyes. She put on a blindfold and everything, and we went in the car, and I drove her up to Bucky's field. She get out of the car and takes the blindfold off. She's like, what are we, at some type of festival? And I'm like, it is. It's a private showing just for you. Well, with that, I got hugs and kisses and promises, and I ain't going to mention no one out in the public area. So we walk down to where I set up the bleacher chairs, and she sits down on the folding camp chair. She's like, when are we going to see them Hall & Oates? So I point to the field and I said, well, there they are.
Oh, yeah. Whole bunch of them.
She's like, well, I don't see him. All I see out there is Bucky with his tractor just dragging her along the field. And I'm like, yeah, it's Bucky. He's hauling oats.
Yes, sir. Of course he is.
I got to tell you, Hiram, I can barely move my arm. She punched me in the arm so badly.
What?
I was trying to give her dream gift. I mean, apparently I got it wrong.
How the heck did you get that wrong? That's exactly what she asked for.
Well, you know, Martha, I listened to her and I'm still being punished for it.
Oh, my gosh. She is a fickle feline.
Well, she's something. I asked her, well, look, if this ain't good enough, what else would you like to see? You know what she says to me?
What?
Hiram. She says, well, I'd like to see Genesis. And I says, God, Mather, I know you're old, but you ain't that bad. Needless to say, I'm sleeping in the doghouse the next 2 weeks.
Good afternoon, Dashers. This is your headmaster telling you that our new season of Balderdash Academy starts Wednesday, September 15th, with special guest, author Renee S. DeCamillis. So that's this Wednesday, September 15th, followed in October by our friends at Haunt Me. We have great shows lined up this season. We hope to see you there. Balderdash Academy's Teacher's Lounge was produced and edited by Bob LeBlanc. Theme music by Think Fish Tank. Performed and written by Steve Corning, Carla Rose Dubois, Nate Green, Randy Hunt, Bob LeBlanc, Molly McGill, and Marie Stewart Harmon. Copyright 2021, Robert J. LeBlanc and Steve Corning, all rights reserved. Go Dashers!